Father, we love you. And again, we give you all the honor and all the praise. We count it an honor, first, oh God, to stand before you. And Lord, also before your people. Tonight, oh God, as we go into your word, Holy Spirit, I ask tonight that you open unto us the scriptures. Anoint us, Lord, like never before. Challenge us. Give us a burden for this great country of America. Lord, let us see, oh God, where we are as a nation. And Lord, help us tonight, oh God. Help us, oh God. Help us to pray, oh God, and do what you've called us all to do in these latter days. And Lord, tonight we give you all the honor and all the glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Again, my message tonight, America in Bible Prophecy. And again, we're going to see some things tonight. So I really believe that we're in amazing times. I shared earlier this morning that we are in a different America, and we're going to see those things tonight. But I believe God's going to give us a revelation tonight about this country and where we are. I want to start off with a verse in Psalms 33, verse number 12. The scripture reads, "Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, and the people whom he have chosen for his own inheritance." The Bible says, "Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord." Now, we can say it another way, too. We can say, "Cursed is the nation whose God is not the Lord." And I got to tell you something. You know, we're going to see tonight that America is in a very difficult place. God's going to challenge us tonight to allow God to give us some deeper perspective about America. One of the most frequently asked questions is in Bible prophecy is, where is America in Bible prophecy? America's place of prominence in the world today has caused many to believe that she will always be around as America the Great. One would figure that since God has blessed her more than any other nation in history, he must have placed her in his prophetic word. Many have tried to find America in Bible prophecy. And some have even gone to great lengths to make America fit into Bible prophecy. I don't believe America is in Bible prophecy in the same way as Israel, Russia, Iran, and other nations. Some look at this as a sign that America may not have any place of influence in the future. My personal belief is that America will be around in the future, but will not have the superpower status that we are experiencing today. Now, again, this is a very frightening statement. It's not a happy statement. I do understand that. God is up to something we're going to see tonight, but we're going to see some things. Let's go a little further. I want to quote Newsweek magazine. When I saw this article, it says the post-American world. This thing really, just the title cover gripped me. And I want to quote the writer here. It says, "The globe is undergoing a seismic shift away from U.S. dominance. That may be an unsettling prospect to Americans. But as Fareed Zakaria writes, the new world will be one of possibilities defined not by our decline, but by the rise of others." This shook me. It really did. It shook me. There's a shifting going on. I really believe that. I believe, again, that God is in heaven. He's moving major chess pieces on his prophetic chessboard. He's moving things into place for the end times. And again, we're going to see as we go further. Now, I'm a teacher, as I always say, and I like to deal with topics. So I'm going to give you some views tonight, views of America, place in prophecy. And again, I'm just going to lightly touch those views, different views that have been taught about her place in prophecy. I'm going to give you my own observation of America in prophecy. We're going to look tonight at the founders of America in their own words. Then we're going to see the sins of a nation reaching to heaven. Then we're going to learn, has America's judgment begun? And then lastly, America's only hope for God's mercy. I want to start off here with views of America's place in Bible prophecy. And again, you know, many of these views have been touched throughout the conference. I want to quote a colleague of mine, Dr. Dave Reagan, in his book called America the Beautiful. Listen to what he said. He said, "The persistent question about America's future has motivated many prophecy experts to resort to their imagination. The unfortunate result has been the discovery of the United States in some very unusual passages. This imaginative approach to the interpretation of Bible prophecy is one of several factors that have motivated contempt for the whole field of the prophetic studies. prompting many people to write it off as a playground for fanatics. And I'm going to show you one thing tonight where people have actually placed America that is just hilarious. But we're going to see. I want to quote a new book, and this one I would encourage you to pick up as well. It's called The American Apocalypse by Dr. Terry James. He said, the very fact of America's spectacular achievement, one would think, secures its place within the final prophetic disposition of nations. Yet this nation is referenced by name nowhere in Bible prophecy. That no mention of the most powerful and wealthiest nation in recorded history is made in the Bible seems a profoundly strange omission. Recognizing and acknowledging that this supernation state is not even alluded to by name, there is nonetheless remains room to ponder. Now again, I've always been pondering. I've always been thinking about America. I mean, I love America. I'm in America. This is my nation. I love America from the very depths of my heart. But as a prophecy teacher, I've always gone to try to find us. I mean, I want to find us like I see Israel, like I see Egypt, like I see, you know, the nations of the world. I want to see America. I want to see God's instructions for America. But I haven't been able to find it. Give you some views. And again, this has been touched. I'm just going to lightly hit these. One, it's found in the book of Isaiah chapter 18, verses 2 and 7. I'm just going to lightly touch it. Some have taught that this verse represents America, a scattered and peeled people, a tall and smooth people. Again, I believe that this really, when you read the account, it's talking about Egypt. It's amazing how we try to make things fit. Ezekiel 38, verse 13, the merchants of Tarshish and all of its young lions. Again, Britain and the young lions are the nations that come out of Great Britain. Again, you know, it could fit, but it may not be. Here's another one. Revelation chapter 12, verses 13 through 17. The great eagle. Chapter 12, this great eagle has nothing to do with the nation of Israel. When you put it in context, it's really talking about the hand of God delivering Israel in the midst of the great tribulation. You go back to the book of Exodus, God used that same account of delivering Israel on eagle's wings. America was nowhere around at that time. Revelation chapter 18, verses 1 through 24, Babylon the Great. I believe that this chapter 18 is a literal Babylon that would be destroyed in the latter days. This, I believe, again, has nothing to do with America. Then I'll give you this little last one, a little humorous, but I'm going to give you this. The name Jerusalem. And I'm going to bring it up in the screen. I was listening to the radio the other day on a Christian station. And the guy said that America was in Bible prophecy in the name of Jerusalem. And again, you look carefully at the picture there and you see red, white, and blue, USA. Very humorous. Now, we are friends of Israel, and I thank God for that. But again, you know, I don't believe that we are there like that. And I think we need to be very, very careful, you know, when we try to put us there, you know, and let's just go a little further. Let me give you my observations of America in Bible prophecy. I do believe that America is in Bible prophecy, but not in the examples we have just seen. America can be found when it is compared to Israel in its relationship with God. God will respond favorably or unfavorably to America as long as she obeys His word. As long as Israel obeyed and honored God, she was a blessed nation. America was founded on godly principles. The forefathers of this great nation knew that in order for America to be a great nation in the eyes of God, it must first obey and honor the God of heaven. Now listen, saints, I got to say something to you tonight. America is a great nation, but we are not, or we weren't, we didn't become great by accident. The greatness of America was not happenstance. It was no accident. I believe that the hand of God moved upon the founders of America. And I believe that those men were divinely ordered of God to cause this nation to be great. Now, if you've ever traveled outside of America, and you know, I went to Africa. I did a conference in Africa a few years back. I went to Tanzania, East Africa. We had a wonderful time, powerful meeting. God blessed. Many people were saved. But you know something? I realized I wasn't in America. Man, when I came home and I was coming through customs, I was so happy to be home. I wanted to kiss the ground. I was so happy. Soon I got through customs. I ran straight to McDonald's. Then next I ran to a water fountain. Because in America we can drink water just at any tap water. We can drink water. Listen, saints, America is a blessed nation. We have been blessed, but it's not by accident. And we're going to see it tonight. America was a great nation at one time, but today she has lost her moral footing. It was known as a Christian nation and looked upon as the moral conscience of the world. Almighty God has blessed America with great wealth, strength, and influence. But somewhere in the abundance of her blessings, she has forgotten the God of her forefathers who made her great. The scriptures declare in Luke 12:48, "For unto whomsoever much is given, of him shall much be required." Listen, saints, God has blessed America with great wealth. God has blessed this nation with prosperity. God has blessed this nation to be called, quote unquote, a Christian nation. We were a nation that was known for giving the world the gospel. But something is happening in America. I want to give you what the founders of America. I want to give you some of the statements of the founders of America. You know, my wife and I, I'm going to give you some of this first, and then I'm going to share a personal testimony. Some of the founders. George Washington, the president, the first president of the United States. He's called the father of the country. This, what I'm about to quote for you, was taken from a speech that he delivered to the Delaware Indian chiefs on May 12, 1779. He told these Indians, he said, "You do well to wish to learn our arts and our ways of life, and above all, the religion of Jesus Christ. These will make you a greater and a happier people than you are." He said, "Religion and morality are the essential pillars of civil society." Now, this was our president, the first president of the United States. He told me, "You would do well to learn Jesus Christ." I want to quote another one. Look at this one. This is the Christian history and biography of George Washington. He said, "No person can be bound to acknowledge and adore the invisible hand which conducts the affairs of men more than those of the United States." Listen, these founders knew and understood that it was the hand of God that was directing them to make this a great nation. They depended upon God's hand to direct them. James Madison, one of the signers of the Constitution, listen to what he said. He said, "A watchful eye must be kept on ourselves, lest while we are building ideal monuments of renown and bliss here, we neglect to have our names enrolled in the annals of heaven." He's talking about having his name written in the book of life. He said, we got to be very careful, fellas. We're building these great buildings. We got to be very careful that we're building these great edifices, that we make sure our names are written in the annals of heaven. This is one of the signers of the Constitution. Benjamin Rush, another sign of the Constitution. He's called the father of the public schools under the Constitution. Listen to what he said. He said, "The gospel of Jesus Christ prescribes wise rule for just conduct in every situation of life. Happy they are who are enabled to obey them in all situations." He said, "My only hope of salvation is the infinite transcendent love of God manifest to the world by the death of his son upon the cross. Nothing but the blood will wash away our sins." Acts 22, verse 6. He said, "I rely exclusively upon it. Come, Lord Jesus, come quickly." Benjamin Rush, he's the father of the public schools. You think about that. Today, the public schools, our children can't pray in the public schools today. Something has happened, saints. Daniel Webster, U.S. Senator, Secretary of State, he says, "The Christian religion, its general principles must ever be regarded among us as the foundation of civil society. Whatever makes men good Christians makes them good citizens. To the free and universal reading of the Bible, men are much indebted for rich views of civil liberty. The Bible is a book which teaches man his own individual responsibility, his own dignity, and his equality with his fellow man. Let me tell you something. It's strategic what has happened to us. The enemy had his hand in what has happened to America. But the sad thing is that we have sat back and allowed it to happen to us. The enemy knew that if I can get this Bible out of their hands, I could change the way they think. I could change their society. Daniel Webster. How many have a Webster dictionary? Daniel Webster. You know, so I've read Daniel Webster. I read the dictionary before I became a Christian. No, I take that back. I read the dictionary. I was looking for a definition on hell. I went to the Webster dictionary, and as I read the definition of hell, I said, you know, man, if I would have read that before I got saved, I would have got saved. I said, that guy must have been a Christian. I didn't know it at the time. Listen to what Daniel Webster says. The Christian religion, in its purity, is the basis, or rather the source, of all genuine freedom in government. He said, and I am persuaded that no civil government of the Republican form can exist and be durable in which the principles of that religion have not a controlling influence. The moral principles and precepts found in the scriptures ought to form the basis of all civil constitutions and laws. Let me tell you something. If the word of God is not the law, or it's not the major influence in a society, you're going to lose that society. These founders, I really believe, these men understood, and this nation was founded on godly principles. The foundation was godly principles. And whenever we remove the foundations, guess what, saints? The building falls. I've got a few more for you. John Hancock, signer of the Declaration of Independence, he says, he called the entire state to pray that that universal happiness may be established in the world, and that all may bow to the scepter of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the whole earth will be filled with his glory. This is signer. These are the signers of the Constitution, Declaration of Independence, godly men. Abraham Lincoln, the 16th president of our nation, he said, the Lord is always on the side of the right. But it is my constant anxiety and prayer, listen at this, that I and this nation should be on the Lord's side. He said, we have been the recipients of the choicest bounties of heaven. We have been preserved these many years in peace and prosperity. We have grown in numbers, wealth, and power, and no other nation has we've grown as no other nation has grown. But we have forgotten God. We have forgotten the gracious hand which preserve us in peace, and the multitudes and multitudes and enrich and strengthen us. And we have vainly imagined, listen at this, we have vainly imagined in the deceitfulness of our hearts that all these blessings were produced by some superior wisdom or virtue of our own. See, we think that America's been blessed because, you know, we are industrious. We are smart Americans. We are smart people. We got all this wisdom. We've made America great. We've rolled up our sleeves and made America great. Don't believe it. It was the hand of God. And with that prosperity and with the greatness, God is requiring us to do something with it. But something's happened. I want to show you something. They tell us today that there's a separation of church and state. I don't believe it because, again, these founders testify of it. I want to show you something. This is relief portraits of lawgivers. I'm going to show you something. In the United States Capitol, in the House and Senate, there are 23 marble relief portraits over the gallery doors of the House chambers, depicting historical figures noted for their work in establishing the principles that underlie American law. They were installed when the chamber was remodeled in 1949 and 1950. Listen at this. Here we see Napoleon. First we see Jefferson. Then we see Napoleon. In the chambers, they got these plaques on the walls representing great leaders. Here's another one, Blackstone. Look at this. The plaques each measure 28 inches in diameter. The 11 profiles in the eastern half of the chamber face the left. The 11 in the western half face the right, so that all looks toward a full face relief in the center of the north wall. Look at this. They got 11 on the left and 11 on the right. These are side profiles that are pointing to the great lawgiver, Moses. Now Moses is a full frontal face. This is in the House and Senate of America. Yeah, the great lawgiver. Listen, everything that we have, it was based on the Word of God. You better know it. The rule that we have, I mean, the way we govern, all those things, you know, had its foundations in the Word of God. Yeah, we're all in there. Look at this. My wife and I, we were honored last year to go on a spiritual retreat to the White House. It was a retreat showing us the Christian heritage of America. I would encourage any one of you, if you get a chance to do it, go on this spiritual retreat. It will show you the Christian heritage of America. My wife and I went to this retreat, and you know something? I got to be honest with you. When I left this retreat, I was so upset. You know why? Because when I came up through history, I never learned what I saw in this history journey that we went through in this presentation. I did not see the history that I saw in the Capitol. I didn't see it in my history books. And I felt that I was robbed. I was robbed. This big rotunda here, we went inside the rotunda. And inside the rotunda, they had these gigantic 12-foot by 8 paintings. This first one here is of the pilgrims leaving Holland. And what's amazing, this thing is 12 foot, this gigantic painting. This painting was commissioned by the government. Now, what's so significant about this painting, if you look carefully here at this painting, right here, this gentleman here, he's holding open the Bible. But if you look carefully, and when you go to the rotunda, look right here, and it says the Lord Jesus Christ. But I mean, saints, it's in large letters. Now think about this. This is in the rotunda of the Capitol, and our senators and congressmen, they walk past this every day. Every day. I'm looking at man, I said, it says the Lord Jesus Christ. I was shocked. Blew me away. And they're making laws that are contrary to them. Yeah, yeah, it's in our history. Look at this, I'm sure another one. How many heard of Pocahontas? Yeah, Pocahontas. They got a picture of Pocahontas in the rotunda in the Capitol. And in this picture here, Pocahontas she's getting prayed for before she gets baptized. Disney didn't give us all the story. Pocahontas became a Christian. She changed her name to Rebecca. Pocahontas. She wasn't just talking to the trees and talking to the animals and the birds. This amazed me because I'm in the Capitol. I said, I never heard this before. I never seen this before. They had a place called the Hall of Statues. In the Hall of Statues, they had all these statues there of great men. Many of them were preachers. You know, one side of the Capitol for a number of years was the largest church in America. They used to meet there and have church in America. Let me tell you, we've been robbed. I left there, I was hurt, I was angry, my heart was heavy. I said, God, no wonder our children don't respect God. No wonder our children don't respect the flag. No wonder we have robbed generations of our Christian heritage. Oh man, I tell you, my heart was so heavy. Proverbs 29:2 says this, when the righteous are in authority, the people rejoice. But when the wicked beareth rule, the people mourn. There's a reason for that. When we're not doing things God ways, judgment comes into the land. Where we are today is a total sum of every choice we've made as Americans today. Where we are today is no accident. Where we are as a nation today is a total sum of every choice that we have made and our leaders have made for us. Proverbs 14:34 says, righteousness exalts a nation, but sin is a reproach of any people. It's the reproach that we're going to see here in a few minutes. I want to deal with the sins of a nation reaching to heaven. One of my colleagues, Dave Reagan, made a statement. He said, many of us think that God is in heaven wrapped up in an American flag. Don't believe it. Don't believe it. Now, God loves us. He's blessed us. But God is holding us accountable. I want to give you, look at this, Genesis chapter 19, verses 12 and 13. Here it's talking about Lot. As Lot was commanded to come out of Sodom, I'm going to show you something that was amazing. Verse 12 says, and the men, these angels came to Lot, and the men said to Lot, hast thou here any besides son-in-law and thy sons and thy daughters? And whatsoever thou hast in the city, these angels commanded them to bring them out of this place. Lot, get everything, your family, everything out of the city. Look at verse 13. The angel said, for we will destroy this place because the cry of them is waxen great before the face of the Lord. And the Lord have sent us to destroy it. The Bible says that the sin of Sodom, the cry of Sodom reached up to heaven. And God dispatched two angels to destroy that city. Let me tell you some things. America cannot keep sticking, poking God in his eye and think God is not going to respond. We can't continue to murder babies and think that God's not going to respond. You know, I think about Cain and Abel. When Cain killed his brother, the Bible said that Abel's blood was speaking from the ground. Guess what? We got 50 million babies. Blood is speaking as well. God's going to answer that. We have stopped prophets and teachers. We've affected our economy. Yes, we have. We've stopped future men of God that God wanted to use to shake America. We're going to answer for it. I want to quote Dr. Reagan again in his book, America. Listen to what he says. When a nation walks in God's way, he will prosper it with great leaders who provide freedom and prosperity. When a nation rebels against God, listen at this. When a nation rebels against God's commandments, he places curses or remedial judgments upon the people. Deuteronomy 28 spells out a wide variety of these judgments, including such things as confusing government policies, economic weaknesses, rebellious youth, rampant disease, crop failure, an epidemic of divorce, foreign domination, and defeat in war. You better hear me. We can't continue to mock God and think that Father God is not going to respond. Dr. Terry James in his book again, listen to what he says. Tragically, this places America at the very heart of Zechariah's prophecy. You know, the scripture says in Zechariah that the nations that come against, the nations that try to stabilize Israel, God's going to judge them. Well, see, we're doing everything that's totally contrary to God. Now we're trying to stabilize peace in the region. All these things are bringing the judgment of God on us. He said, tragically, this places America at the very heart of Zechariah's prophecy. This nation presently leads the contingent of global politicians pressuring Israel to divide the land that belongs to God. God's word foretells the strongest possible condemnation for those nations who do what today's international community, led by the so-called quartet, the United States, the European Union, and the United Nations and Russia, is attempting to do in the matter of Israel. See, what happened, you know, because we're not doing things God's way, we're doing things totally contrary to God. And everything that we are doing are literally causing the judgment of God to come upon us. The judgment of God is coming upon us. We are pressuring Israel to give up land. We are murdering babies. We are taking God out of our society. We are stripping God, you know, out of our view. And as a result of that, it brings the judgment of God on the land. Psalms 9:17 says this, "The wicked shall be turned into hell, and all nations that forget God." Dr. Irwin Luxer, in his book, Is God on America's Side, says this, "The banished God retrieved." He said, so after 9/11, to borrow a phrase from R.C. Sproul, God was allowed off the reservation for a few months to fulfill his responsibility to bless us. But once our nation felt secure again, God was safely tucked away. Church attendance declined, and the so-called wall of separation of church and state was built a notch higher. God is even less welcome now in the affairs of our public life than he was before 9/11. I've heard many preachers say that 9/11 was a wake-up call to America, and we just turned over and hit the snooze button. We turned over and hit the snooze and went back to business as usual. We're going to see tonight, saints, that we have a responsibility as the church, as the children of God. We have a responsibility. We are taking God out of our society. Many of you may have heard of this. On August 27, 2003, a Ten Commandment granite replica courthouse monument weighing 5,300 pounds in Montgomery, Alabama courthouse was forcibly removed. The former Alabama Chief Justice Roy Moore and many other Christian supporters gathered together from all around the nation to pray and to make a strong stand against this action. And what it was a plaque for the Ten Commandments. Again, showing where we get our law from. Well, now it's offensive in America. They want to remove it from all the courts. This man, he was a Chief Justice in Alabama. On November 13, 2003, a judicial panel banished Alabama Chief Justice Roy Moore from the bench because he defied a federal court order to remove the tablets. All he wanted to do was leave the Ten Commandments outside his courts. We don't want God. We don't want to think about God. We want to move anything that gives reference to God in our history. We want to move it out. Our sins are reaching before God. The sins of a nation are coming up before God. It's no wonder we're in the state we're in today. I've got to give you this one. This is frightening, saints. This is a book by Marilyn Maddox. It's called Public Education Against God. This is frightening. Listen to what he says. He said, "We discovered that students at school were required to attend an intensive 3-week course in Islam that mandated that they learn the tenets of Islam, study the important figures of the Muslim faith, wear a robe, and read verses from the Quran. They had to memorize 25 Islamic terms and learn 6 Islamic Arabic phrases, 20 Islamic proverbs, and 5 pillars of the faith. They also had to study 10 key Islamic prophets and disciples. The students also had to pick a Muslim name out of a list of 30 and go on a make-believe journey called the Hajj to Mecca. From the beginning, you and your classmates will become Muslim." This was one of the assignments. "Dressing up as Muslims and trying to be involved will increase your learning and enjoyment. Across the centuries is the name of the textbook used for the course. Described as a social studies history book, it has been adopted by the California school system. Children in the grades of seventh grade, they go through this particular course in the seventh grade. I've had parents come to me, 'Brother Perkins, my child is going through a program at school to learn about Islam.' I had a pastor that come to me, and he actually gave me this. I'm going to show you this. He gave me this. This was one of the assignments that a seventh grader received in his district. They had a word puzzle, and as they finished the word puzzle, look what it said. It spelled out, 'There is no God but Allah.'" This is in California, saints. Different assignments. They had different activities they had to do. They had to learn the 5 pillars of Islam. Now, we can't pray in the schools, but we can do this. Look at this. This is the homework that these kids had to do as they were going through this. And look at this last one here. They're going on a make-believe Hajj. This is in California schools. You take God out, it has to be replaced. That void has to be replaced with something. Look at this last picture here. This is another assignment they had to do. They had to learn how to pray. This is actual homework that these kids had to do. Look at this. They taught them how to pray. California schools. But we can't mention Jesus. We can't bring the Bible to school. The sins of a nation reaching to heaven. Look at this. Washington Times reports gay unions gaining global favor. Look at this. Sunday, August 10, 2008. If California were an independent country, it would be among a group of 10 economic powers with a population population greater than Canada and Australia. So when California moves on something as controversial as same-sex marriage, it not only affects other U.S. states, but, listen at this, countries around the world. Listen, America's influence not only affects America, but it affects the entire world. Now, we were known as a nation that brought God, that brought Jesus Christ to the world. But now we are influencing the world to do things that are contrary to our God. Let me go a little further. I want to show you something else. Proverbs 16, verse 18 said, pride go before destruction and a haughty spirit before a fall. We have a proud nation. We are haughty. We are great America. We're the only alone superpower. We're trusting in our wealth and trusting in our arms, but we're not trusting in our God. Our currency testifies that we trusted God one time. In God we trust. I tell any atheist, I say, if you're an atheist, I say, give me all of your money. If you don't believe in God, give me all of your money, because your money is testifying that there is a God. In God we trust. But you know something, saints, what's happening? We're not trusting the God of the Bible, though. We're trusting the God of currency, the God of wealth. Jude 1, verse 7 and 8 says this, even as Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities about them in like manner, giving themselves over to fornication and going after strange flesh, are set for an example, suffering the vengeance of eternal fire. Verse 8, likewise also these filthy dreamers defile the flesh, despise dominions, and speak evil of dignities. So again, we're allowing things to take place in our society that is totally contrary to God. And listen, the Bible said these things were examples. God judged situations like this. But what America's doing now, America's empowering. We're empowering things that are contrary to God. Now, this message is not a message against homosexuals. Jesus died for the homosexual. Jesus died for the adulterer. Jesus died for the fornicator. Jesus died for the murderer. Yes, sin is sin in God's eyes. He died to save us all. But you know, when a nation and a society empowers a sin, it brings the judgment of God on a nation. Has America's judgment begun? I want to give you another verse. Isaiah 26, verse 9, it says, God said this, he says, with my soul have I desired thee in the night. Yea, with my spirit within me will I seek thee early. For when thy judgments are in the earth, the inhabitants of the world will learn righteousness. Listen at this. Isaiah said, when the judgments of God is in the earth, God's people will learn righteousness. You know, we are experiencing some amazing things in America today. And I really believe that the judgment of God has begun to come down upon us. Whether you believe it or not, it's here. We're in a different America today, saints. And I got to tell you something, man. God is trying to wake us up. He's trying to get our attention. And especially the church. He's trying to shake the church to get on those prayer bones. God's trying to shake us, you know, to get on our knees and begin to cry out to heaven. We've been so lethargic. We've been so cold and apathetic. We've been enjoying life, saints. We've been blessed in America. But guess what? We're allowing this blessedness to blind us. And we're not seeing what's happening in our society. We're not crying out to God for his mercy. The scripture says this, Proverbs 26:2. It says, as the bird by wandering, and as the swallow by flying, so the curse causeless shall not come. In other words, saints, there's a reason for judgment coming in the land. The curse does not come without a cause. God don't just pass out judgment just to be haphazardly throwing out judgment. There's a reason when God began to move in this vein. The curse comes, but it doesn't come without a cause. Something has triggered the hand of God to judge us. Romans 1, verse 24 through 32, I would encourage you to read that. It says this: wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies within themselves. The Bible says here, it goes on to say that these people, they didn't want to keep God in their thinking. God gave them up to do things that were totally contrary. Now I want to show you something. In California, the law was passed to legalize gay marriages. And a few days after the law went into effect, fires broke out. And what was amazing about these fires, this was an article that appeared, look at what it says, 100 of fires sparked by rare lightning strike. Rare lightning strike, lightning storm ignited more than 800 wildfires across parched northern desert, northern California. But what was amazing, saying, look what it says, in less than a day, an electrical storm unleashed nearly 8,000 lightning strikes. This happened right after California allowed the gay marriage. Just out of the blue, freaky. 8,000 lightning strikes just hit California. Time magazine says, why is California burning? I wonder why. I wonder what's going on. The meltdown. Listen, saints. All of these things, God, because we've turned our back on Him, God's touching our prosperity. Because we are trusting in things of this world and not God, God is touching our prosperity. The housing situation, the stock market. Listen, all of this, all of these things. Listen, God said, you better open up your eyes. I'm trying to wake you up, America. Church, I'm trying to wake you up. We're bailing them out. But listen, God said, I'm trying to wake you up. You're putting your confidence in places where you shouldn't. AIG received a bailout of $85 million. Then we gave them another $35 million the other day. Listen, we're just throwing money at the situation. God said, it's time for the church in America to pray. Yeah, this stuff don't happen by accident. Look at this. You want to know the spirit of your country? Read the headlines of your country. I'm going to just bring in something. I'm not going to read all of them. I'm just going to bring some of these in. Look at this. American school Bible, school books redefine jihad to exclude violence. Listen at this one. Survey, Americans divided on homosexuality as sin. Look at this one. Now on the Hallmark aisles, gay marriage cards. Here's another one. Bible reading woman kicked off Fort Worth bus. This mother was a homeschooler in Dallas, Fort Worth, and she was kicked off the bus because she was reading the Bible to her baby in the back of the bus. Look at this one. California school children to decide their own sex. That's why we're burning, man. That's why it's burning. Dr. LaHaye, in the pre-trib perspective, listen to what he says. He says the California Supreme Court's decision to legalize homosexual marriages is in gross defiance of the will of the people and has necessitated this action to defend the institution of marriage as ordained by God. No nation in history has succeeded when homosexuality was an accepted practice. He said, some in California have even said we should not declare a child's sexual identity until they are 5 years old. This is ridiculous. A child's sex can be determined even before they are born. The Greek culture was riddled with homosexuality, which many historians attribute to the decline of that once great culture. What's happening? We have lost our moral compass. We have tilted. We have tilted. America. This is a different America, y'all. I'm almost done. I'm watching my time. I'm almost done. My colleague Mark Hitchcock says, but it seems that by many any measure, America has begun a startling slide into moral decay. Estimate as to when the moral decline began may vary, but all the leading culture indicators drive one to the conclusion that America is rottening from within. Now, I'm going to tell you something. I know this message is not a good message. It's not a happy, it's not a hallelujah shouting from the roof message. But let me tell you something. It's something that we need. We need to be able to discern what's going on in America. And I tell you something else, saints. We, the church, are responsible. We are responsible. We have gotten too comfortable in our churches. You know, saints, I got called. I'm a preacher, evangelist. I'm called to teach Bible prophecy. Guess where my ministry was birthed? Guess where I got the call? I was part of a little old church in Louisiana, Baton Rouge, Louisiana. I had a pastor that didn't care how you felt. I had a pastor that made you feel uncomfortable all the time. My pastor, he said, well, we're going to have an all-night prayer on Friday night. Guess what? My flesh did not feel like an all-night prayer. I used to run a tape ministry at the church. So my pastor called an all-night prayer on Friday night. Brother Perkins and Sister Perkins went to church that Friday. I was obedient to the man of God. I went into my little tape room where I normally do all my duplicating. And I got on my face before God in all-night prayer. And God birthed this calling in my life. A lot of churches have gotten away from that. We're in churches today that don't want to challenge people to be holy. We don't want to challenge the church to be uncomfortable a little bit and fast. How long has it been since you fast? Think about it. Listen, we don't want an uncomfortable message. We don't want to feel uncomfortable, but guess what, saints? We're going to have to become uncomfortable in order to help America. We're going to have to get on our prayer bones. We're going to have to push the plate away. We're going to have to seek God like we've never sought our God. America's only hope is that the church must pray. Very familiar passage. I'm almost done here. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1, he says, Paul said, I exhort therefore that first of all, listen to what he said, first of all, supplication, prayer, intercession, and giving of thanks be made for all men. He said, for kings and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. Guess what, saints? If we don't seek God and pray for our leaders, guess what? We will not lead a quiet and peaceable life. This peace and tranquility that we have right now, it has a time limit on it. If we don't seek God, we're going to lose it. God will give you leaders that you want if you don't want to serve Him. Second Chronicles, this is a mantra. We quote this in our sleep, but we don't live it. He says, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wickedness, God said, then will I hear from heaven and I will forgive their land. But look at this last part. And I will what? Heal their land. America needs healing. Our nation needs healing. And all that's going to happen is that the church, we must get in position and do what God has called us to do. We got to do what God has called us to do. I love America. I love my nation. All I've known all my life has been freedom and peace. And I can go and worship God. I can seek God when I want to. I never thought that I would live in America that would challenge my Jesus and my God. I never thought I would live in an America that would challenge the word of God, that would take God from my babies. I never thought. Listen, saints, we got to humble ourselves. We got to seek God like we have never. Because if we don't, we're going to lose America faster. We're going to lose America Yes, we're going to lose it. We're going to lose our prosperity. We're going to lose it. The church has a responsibility. Now, I'm going to read this and then I'm going to close. I got one other thing, and then I'm going to close. My time is gone, but I got to give it this. K. Arthur. It says, a call to corporate prayer on behalf of the United States of America. She said, God has laid it upon my heart to call the people of the United States to prayer on behalf of our nation. In the inspiration and tradition of the Fulton Revivals in 1857, we are calling for a grassroots movement of prayer around the cities of America for the welfare of this nation. Many believe that with the upcoming presidential election, which is passed now, the future of our country lies in the balance. America has turned its back on its rich spiritual heritage that once enriched a fear of God, respect and trust of Him, a life of morality directed by conviction that the Bible is the Word of God and that it should be honored. Listen to this: it should be honored as such in the matter of all life. She goes on to say, our society has greatly degenerated with every passing year, removing the traditional acknowledgement of God from public places and public forums, demeaning those who hold, listen at this, the precepts of God, redefining the meaning of family, tolerating the corruption of morality, even among its leaders, and ignoring the consequences. The judgment of God as seen in natural disasters and in the removal of His sovereign hand of protection on this nation. We have polluted the land with the blood of the unborn. Morality, America has never sunk so low. This has come to pass because we have no fear of God before our eyes. Instead, without the moorings of His word, as the scriptures say, everyone does what is right in his own eyes. Only the mercy of Almighty God can save us from ourselves. The time is critical. It is our conviction that there are many in this nation who agree. Listen to this. Who agree, who believe as we do that the time is critical. The time is critical. Therefore, we are calling them to rise up in their communities to join with others in corporate prayer on behalf of the United States, its citizens, and its future. When the last time you prayed for America? How long has it been? How long has it been since you prayed for your leaders? I want to give you an assignment. Daniel chapter 9, verses 2 through 23. This is Daniel's prayer on behalf of Israel. This is what we need to do as Americans. We need to pray for America the way Daniel prayed for Israel. Daniel cried out for the mercies of God. This is what we need to do. If we don't, saints, let me tell you something. Our days are numbered. And as I close, it's time to pray for America like you have never prayed before. Bow your hearts as I close in prayer. Father, we love you. Oh God, we love you. Oh God, give us a burden. Give us a burden like we've never had in our lives, oh God. Father, shake us to the core of our spirits. Challenge us, oh God, to do right. Give us, oh God, your grace, dear God, that we might shake and affect our generation, oh God. Father, help us as the church to do right. Help us, oh God, to push the plate away, oh God, and to get on our prayer knees before you and cry out for your mercy. Help us, Lord. Help us. Help us, Lord. Help us, Lord. Lord, we love you and we thank you. And Lord, today we ask for your mercy in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah.
This has been a production of According to Prophecy Ministries. If you would like more materials from According to Prophecy Ministries, you can write us at According to Prophecy Ministries, P.O. Box 6, Lemon Grove, California, 91946, or you can visit us on the World Wide Web at www.according2prophecy.org.